Sequels, where we talk about the direct-to-video sequels of childhood classics, horror franchise installations, and those action films where they recast the lead actor to someone gentler on the budget. I'm Sarah Sorrentino, Managing Editor at Talk Film Society.
I'm Shaq Lambert, Contributor over at oneofus.net.
And I'm Ollie Gonzalez, Contributor at Talk Film Society.
For this episode, we watched Poison Ivy 2, Lily, the direct-to-video sequel to 1992's Poison Ivy, which starred Drew Barrymore, if anybody remembers it. I watched it once. I'm going to give a little disclaimer here. This movie is literally a softcore porn.
Hardly.
So,
oh, boy.
Well, you know what I mean? It's racy. And compared to Aladdin. So, if you listen to the last episode and maybe your parents wouldn't like you listening to the next one, or maybe you're a family member that doesn't want to hear me talk about these types of things, please don't listen to this.
Why are you listening to this anyway? Like, why did you click on this episode if that's the case? What?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Shaq, please tell us about this movie.
All right. So this movie follows the aforementioned Lily, who's kind of like a meek, shy little art student. She just moved over from Michigan over to L.A., she's a talented painter, but again, she's very shy and stuff. As she's exploring the place, discovering her school and all that stuff, she finds a bunch of images that belong to Ivy from the original movie. And she's enamored by how like confident and powerful she is from all these photos and her like journal entries, that she decides to, you know, like, I'm going to be more confident in myself, dress a little bit more racy and all that stuff. And unfortunately, it attracts the attention of some real skeezy motherfuckers, namely her professor and her classmate, who is so obscenely tan, I can't even believe it.
How dare you? He's beautiful.
He is really, really beautiful. But his dye job was not great.
It's awful!
Oh my god, that's 90s frosted tips, though.
We need to talk about the fucking hair in this film. Because the crazy friend, like the crazy roommate, the wig needed help.
Oh, yeah.
It needed help. Also, I was going to say Christina Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano, her fucking, like, extensions before she cut her hair, because those were extensions. You can't even fool me. Bad. Bad. The frosted tips, bad. The professor balding, bad. Just bad all-around hair choices.
This was the 90s. The 90s hair was not great.
Tragic.
Just before we go into this, I want to let everybody know how disappointed I am, because this has the makings of all my favorite things in the fucking world. The 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Professor fantasies.
No. I was like, no. Okay, keep going. What else?
Alyssa Milano.
Okay.
Like, mm-hmm. Such, like, a lot of stuff that I, like, really, really love.
Yeah.
Black lipstick.
Oh, I was thinking of you immediately. I'm like, she's doing it. She's going straight in.
Well, like, you would think I would love this fucking movie, but it thinks it's, like, a soft erotica, like, drama, and It's not that. It's just boring, and it goes from 0 to 100 in, like, the blink of an eye.
It really does. That last 5 minutes is all, like, erotica, like, but also, like, very dramatic, and then but for most of it, it was really calm. I don't hate it for that part, but I know it's not that kind of movie that's setting out to be.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't want to go into overalls, guys. I really want to talk about the first Poison Ivy.
Yeah, okay, So
quickly, has everyone seen it? Allie, I thought you hadn't.
No, I saw it recently. Like, I saw it for this.
Oh, great, great. And Shaq, you did too.
We've all seen the two movies for once.
Yay.
First of all, it's so much better than this, and it's, like, it's just such a different fucking vibe, and also Drew Barrymore is, like...
She's very attractive in that movie.
My dream girl in this fucking movie. It was just done better, and, like, just FYI, also, if you're watching this and you've never seen the first Poison Ivy, you don't really need to watch it.
No, you don't.
For this one.
Absolutely not. Like, the thing is, like, even her finding the pictures, you're like, at what point did this even happen in the story?
Right.
Like, in the original one. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's been a while since I've watched Poison Ivy.
I watched it literally just this morning.
Yeah, shout out to my old roommate who was like, hey, roommates, let's all drink and watch Poison Ivy. So we did that, and I was drinking, like, very gross gin and watching that movie. The parts I remember, I thought were great. I just don't quite remember every single bit of it. I know, like, Drew Barrymore, she's like getting into this family. She seduces the father by starting to look like the sick mother, and then the mother quotation mark, commits suicide, but she actually kills the mother. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's pretty much all, all of it, yeah. I had literally never heard of this until you guys brought this up to me. And then I was looking, like, at some info about it, and like, oh, the reason I hadn't heard of it, because it wasn't really successful, like, when it came out theatrically. Like, it made, like, just barely over a million. But what happened, the reason why this even got sequels was because it was huge on the VHS, like, the home video market. And so it made enough word of mouth from that. They're like, hey, yeah, we could bank on this. And then that's what these Poison Ivy 2, and then two more came out after.
We got two more to watch, Allie.
I heard the third one's fine. Like, I heard the third one was actually a lot of fun. We saw the worst fucking one.
Oh, no.
Of course we did.
I don't think this one was that bad.
I do think it was that bad. Like, nothing happened until the last, like, 30 minutes. And then what happens in the last 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Triggering AF and also unnecessary for the little girl to have been run over. Like, what the fuck was that about?
Okay, we're gonna get into this now.
And, like, she's fine. It's not like she fucking dies. They just run her over and that's that.
Yo. Okay. So, as I was messaging you guys, because I'm like, oh, hey, we might start a little bit late because I still have a couple more minutes to do it, to watch the movie. Immediately after I press that, I press enter on that, I see the little girl get run over. I was like, what the fuck?
Do you guys recognize that actress who plays the little girl?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I recognize her from her eyebrows. No. I was like, that's her.
Me too.
That's so funny.
Me too. I don't know what the fuck she's in, but I did recognize
her. It's Camille Bell, and I don't know what she's in.
Oh, no. Holy shit. Oh, now that you say that, because she was in fucking...
What was she in?
When a Stranger Calls.
I know that she was in When a Stranger Calls.
Oh my god, she's in Practical Magic. She's one of the little girls in Practical Magic. That's where
none of these are clicking for me. I'm going to IMDb on my
own. No, I just know her in the When a Stranger Calls remake, which is absolute garbage.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know the original. I've never seen the remake.
Oh, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Like, you know how the When a Stranger Calls, like the original, has like that really good first 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. The whole, like, oh, there's calls are coming inside the house. Is if you take that 10 minutes and stretch it over an hour and a half and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's not great.
Also in fucking 10,000 BC, remember when fucking the dude from Independence Day tried to make a prehistoric epic and it was all complete garbage.
Oh my god. Yes, I remember that. That was bad. In the end, that girl, I don't know, I'm in shock that she is recognizable even as a child actress, and I apologize that she was in this movie. I'm sorry for you. This explains a lot. You're going to be okay. How creepy was the fucking professor?
The creepiest, skeeziest motherfucker from the second he shows up.
You should have fucking known from the minute that he started, like...
First scene.
Well, first of all.
Yes.
Being on screen.
He just stops mid-coitus and is like, I can't do this anymore. Like,
the movie literally opens the eye with him fucking his student and you're like, oh... Oh boy, this kind of thing.
He's just such a dick. I don't like him at all. And then he starts to go crazy and crazy. I guess his story kind of makes sense as a dramatic erotic thriller type movie. His plot makes sense, but her story, Lily's story, is just kind of all over the place.
It makes no type of sense.
It absolutely
doesn't. She never goes all the way in on being this Ivy character. She's just kind of like, even when she is trying to play up that character, she'll break character. Yes. I kind of like those scenes, though. One of my favorites is when she's at that terrible party, like the worst party I've ever seen.
And they do the icebreaker.
The icebreaker in her face when he's doing it was really funny to me. And I was like, wow, she's actually really cute. Not that that was creepy, too. But
I really like that scene, too.
I kind of like it. And what's up with her creepy cello roommate?
What the fuck was that?
We're going to bring this man up, too.
What was that?
Yeah.
They never explain it, and they just act like it's fine. Like,
I think that they were trying
to make... It's like some Phantom of the Opera
shit. Yeah, for sure. I think they were trying to make him, like, the Angel of Death or some shit. Like,
oh my god. Leave the man alone. He's just playing his cello, and he has a crush. But, like, then he's, like, being weird, and then he, like, approaches her, but then he never talks to her again. I'm like, what's going on with this? Where are you going, dude? It's
crazy.
He has a grand total of, like, 3 scenes. And, like, his introduction where he's being, like, the creepy Phantom of the Opera, when he's the masked dude doing the weird icebreaker thing at the party, which, hilarious how he runs off into the night.
I know! Both times. Oh, like, the first time that he does the icebreaker, he then, like, does the icebreaker, gets the lime out of her mouth, and leaves. I'm like, bitch, you just made a good move. Like, she was into it. Like, hang out. And he left.
I was fine with that because it was him being mysterious.
Whatever. And then here we're dancing and he leaves again as soon as she finds out who he is. I'm like, what are you doing? This is weird. And when did he write her more letters? I only saw one letter. And then there were, like, a pile of them. And she thought they were all from that guy with the weird name with the tips.
Gredin or Greedin.
Greedin.
That is the whitest. That is the most Caucasian name I've ever heard in my life.
It's a Caucasian, but also, like, art school name.
Right.
Yeah. The third thing is, at least with the creepy roommate, is that when he comes back, when the professor comes back and tries to, like, be all, when he fully turns into a horror villain and he's like, oh, I called the cops, and then he gets pushed and then that's it. It's like, all right, fuck him too. But yeah, this character is fucking weird and unnecessary, really.
So
yeah, it was.
I just want to go back to Lily for a second, because like at the end when she gets, when she's back to being Miss Purity Ring, she's like in Michigan, in fucking Michigan, I stuck out like she was like not welcome or accepted. Oh, and I want to know what the fuck about her made her an outcast, because she is
the whole ending was trash. I'll be honest with, like, the whole ending, like, it, so quickly she runs away, she's like, no, I'm over Ivy, even though she had already done that and it wasn't even her fault when she was at the professor's house the way he was acting. Like, that wasn't on her. That was literally rape. So I don't understand why, like, she never even says that to anybody. She just, like, lets it happen and blames herself, and then everybody blames her.
Yeah, this is a little bit problematic, because
she's literally saying no. Yeah, it's problematic.
And that's not even what's sure. problematic. Though, what's problematic to me is, I think the film actually does make him the one at fault. Like, it doesn't blame her for being this Ivy character or whatever. Yeah. I think it makes him look like a crazy psycho, which you'd have to be to fucking do what he did. But the problematic thing to me is, like, how it makes that way look like a bad way to be. Because when she gets back to being, like, Lily,
mm-hmm.
she's like, oh my god, I don't know what I was thinking. That's not me. That's yeah. not me. Like, what if it was? Like, it's fine if it is. It's fine if you're, like, a sexual person.
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, super problematic, but, I mean, whatever.
I don't think they really make Ivy in this movie into a villain as much as they needed to be to make that make sense. Like, Ivy's character in the first film is obviously
a villain. Right.
Like, there's a villain. She literally kills somebody. But there's no mention of that in her her self-portraits and in her diary.
Exactly. The only thing she does is have a more overt sexuality.
She never says anything that's overtly wrong at all.
Yeah.
In anything she's written or any of those pictures. Like, she just says, I'm going out to have sex. Like, oh, wild. So I don't know why she blames Ivy's character. When really she, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the man does not really get blamed in the situation.
100%.
Instead, she blames Ivy.
Yeah.
Which is really,
that's bullshit.
Weird.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit, but it's 1992, and most of these people bought this for sex scenes.
Yeah. Hardly, because there are no good ones anyway.
There are no good ones, but this is the best you can get. Like, this is low-rent Skinemax type shit.
You know what it reminded me of? The Room.
Yes! Thank you! Those, like, a really bad song.
It reminded
song.
Me of the sex scenes from The Room. Yeah. Just, like, the bad music, and it's just, like, some, like, you see their faces, and you see their backs, and
they
that's
are just
it.
Touching each other for so long.
They're just touching each other. The only scene I thought was really weird, and I kind of liked, but not in that kind of way, when she had him turned around, and she's, like, got her face near his butt.
Yes! Yes!
Wait, are you talking about the after the party, like, in the neon room?
Yes!
Yes!
Okay, explain
yes.
this shit to me. How do they fuck there and then wake up in her room?
I don't know. Because also, her first sex scene with him, she has sex with him in his, like, hobo house sculpture. And then she ends up in her room by herself later on, fully clothed.
It's so... I just want to know, like, what happened between those scenes. Like, did they walk there? Did they fuck again? Like, what's going on?
Is he homeless? Is my real question. Is he okay?
He's always fucking.
He has two
on her
sculptures, right? He has two sculptures. One near her house, where he has a bed underneath it, and then another one out by, like, the water. Or is that the same one? What's going on? Is he okay? Does he live out of the motorcycle? Is all his money going towards keeping those frosted tips frosted?
Yes.
That's my question.
Also, even his introduction, he's just as skeevy, where when he's finished painting, like, the nude model or whatever, he's like, she's so realistic, you could almost fuck her. And everyone's laughing, and you're just like, what the fuck is this?
He did.
He did.
Yeah, he said that about her drawing. Yeah, he said, she's so realistic, you could almost fuck her. But I think for the most part, like, I kind of understand that scene because he's obviously upset about the last girl who sat next to him who was banging the professor in the first scene.
Oh, okay.
So, and they mentioned that when Lily first comes into the classroom. Sorry, I paid attention to this movie, guys. When Lily first came into the classroom, he said, you can have, I think her name was Caroline. You can have Caroline, so I don't think she's coming back, or she's not coming back. That's what the professor said, because he turned her down mid-sex, you dick. And, which is fine. That's consent. I mean, you're
consent
right.
Consent can be, yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Consent can be taken.
I mean, like, you're still skeevy and gross, but whatever.
He's the skeevy one, though. Like, he's approaching, like, women that are probably half his age. Not that that's skeevy. If you're twice my age, my DMs are open for you. But, like, I feel like he was manipulative about it, you know?
He was manipulative. He was in a power position. And that's what he did even when he married his wife. Yeah. So, what I'm trying to say, though, is obviously she took that girl's place in the classroom. Again, the professor was doing the same thing he had done before. And I'm going to call him Gavin. Gavin. Gavin was upset because he had seen it happen before. He thought the new girl was nice. He didn't want it to happen. He was getting upset. And he was obviously showing off or, like, acting out to upset the professor.
Okay.
But, and then that's why he apologizes to her and say it's not about her.
Because the thing is, I thought that was directed to her just being, like, kind of like a douche. I didn't think that that was towards the professor. But now that you say that, I'm like, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he's upset at the professor for showing her, like, extra attention and making her do exactly what, like, draw exactly what's in front of her and, like, praising her for not doing anything too special. But, like, also he can tell that the professor's, like, creeping on her. So he's upset. And he's like, oh, look, she drew exactly what you wanted, this naked woman. It's so realistic.
Because they had cut to, like, the model going, like, getting angry. That's when I was like, okay.
She's in an awkward position. She felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I also just say that his art is bad?
Everyone's art was bad. Oh my god. Do you remember the scene when she walks into her house for the first time and the roommate is just playing on MS Paint making shapes like I did when I was 5? It was amazing. Do you remember? Did anyone else do this? Like, I used to open up MS Paint and just make the shapes and then fill them in with colors and, like, overlap them and stuff.
Yeah,
that
like
girl was literally doing that like it was art. like she was gonna put that in. I was in shock. I was like, wow, that could have been me if I only had went to college in the 90s. All of her lines, by the way, what was her name? The one roommate. I think it started with a T.
Tanya? Was that it?
I think it was like Tanya or something. She was great. All of her like edgy 90s internet references.
Oh.
She's like, I got some bites. BYTS. To take care of.
Although when Lily was like, don't you have a super highway to go on? I die.
Oh man, the 90s were wild.
Dude, I loved the 90s so fucking much. I really wanted to like this.
Why did they give her a lesbian girlfriend out of nowhere too? Like why did her girlfriend and her make out like for no reason?
Wait, what?
Again, Skinamax. They're trying to do shit to like titillate or whatever, even if it's innocuous.
That's true. The internet roommate, the one who's the MS Paint.
She's
roommate,
a lesbian?
Yeah. Did you miss the whole scene? Like, so she and Lily are talking, and Lily had just put on the black lipstick. You probably were in some sort of daze because of the black lipstick.
Can we just focus on the black lipstick for 2 seconds? Because who puts on the black lipstick like that?
I've never seen it done like that. Was it like a lipstick pot?
I'm sure what she was doing was, because I do this sometimes when I do my lipstick. You take the actual lipstick, you open it, and then you take like a little brush and you just like swipe the brush on the actual tip of the lipstick and then you apply it, but I only do that when it's like a light color, not when it's a dark color, so I don't understand.
Yeah, I just put the lipstick on, guys. I don't really know what to tell you.
She also didn't look that good. She did.
It was very like, why the white flowers and like, oh, I just pierced my belly button. Like, you don't just pierce your belly button. That doesn't happen.
I want everyone to know that I got my nose pierced literally yesterday, and so when I was watching this, unrealistic. Unrealistic.
They put a little dot of blood on her belly button, and they're like, it's pierced.
There was no hole. It was just a dot of blood. And it was, like, transparent red. Like, it wasn't even, like...
It wasn't even blood. It was, like, a little bit of ketchup. Like, food dye.
The little, like, water that comes out of your ketchup when it's...
Wow!
Ketchup water? Oh my god.
But, okay, so back to the lesbians.
Okay, so she and internet roommate arguing a little bit. She said, why are you acting like this? You've changed. You cut your hair, and now you...
Which, again, doesn't make sense for the end, because in the end when she's like, nobody in Michigan accepted me, and now I'm accepted as Ivy. Like, nobody accepted you as Ivy,
no,
bitch!
No, they all thought you were a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, as soon as she's like, go back to your superhighway, her internet roommate turns around and's like, well, I was gonna introduce you to my hot girlfriend. And then they make out, her and her girlfriend, who was hanging out in the doorway for some reason. It's like, okay, let's go. And then they just walk out. Like, it was cool.
I missed that shit.
You should watch that. It was wild.
It was like a 5-second thing. You're like, oh, all right, I guess.
I really like that character, too. I was like, oh, I really like that she's, like, down earth and sensible and, like, is doing her own thing in the movie. And then they give her that scene. I'm like, why'd you do that to my girl? She was really cool. Let's talk about favorite characters. That was my favorite character. I don't know her name, but I love her.
The lesbian girlfriend or the MS Paint artist?
MS Paint artist.
MS Paint artist.
That's my new career. Yeah. Shaq, who's your favorite character?
Yeah, probably Tanya as the MS Paint. No, actually, you know what? creepy Phantom of the Opera roommate is hilarious to me.
He was amazing. Was his name like Robin?
Robert.
Robert? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I loved him. I loved all his scenes of him just looking.
him just being weird.
I do have to say, like, maybe they were really driving for inclusivity in this shit, because...
Wow, that's true.
Lesbians, Asians, also the director's a woman and the writer's a woman.
Yes.
Not that they were very good at their job in this case, but, you know, whatever.
I could tell this movie was directed by a woman, though.
Really?
I could tell. It was skeevy and shitty, but at the same time, I don't think the first Poison Ivy had scenes of... And this is kind of goes back to what I'm saying. Before the movie started to get too wild, and wild in, like, a bad way, I generally thought this was a pretty... It wasn't that bad of a drama. I was like, okay, she's starting college. If I took this as, like, a new girl in college, has too many weird guys after her, she's just trying to deal with it, I was like, okay, this is not a bad TV movie. And then... It starts to just fucking go buck wild.
No, it doesn't start to go buck wild. Like, it goes buck wild in the last 25 minutes, and it's...
Fucked up.
How do I best describe this?
I think it wasn't even wild until they talked in Camille Bell.
It's kind of like when you take an edible, and you're like, what the fuck? This ain't shit. This is not affecting me at all. So you continue to eat edibles, and then all of a sudden, from one second to the next, you're hallucinating. That's what this is like. First of all, the dinner scene, I wanted to gauge my eyeballs out.
It was so boring to me.
It was
so slow.
Awkward. They're having this whole ass conversation while the little girl's asleep under the table, just not worried or anything about the little girl waking up.
There's naked pictures of her mother all over the house. I think she's already fucked. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I mean, she fucking saw her dad raping his student and then got ran over for no fucking reason. I'm sure she's fucked for life.
Yeah.
That girl is gonna be a mess. That's all I gotta say about that.
My condolences.
Sorry, Camille.
I also like how, like, fucking, what's her name? Oh my god, you know what scene was so funny? When this bitch goes home after the whole fiasco and she's just rubbing her fucking makeup remover on her face.
Yes.
I didn't understand it at first. I was like, wait, I'm trying to, like, get it. I was like, is that makeup remover? Is she putting on, like, cleansing?
I thought she had lost her fucking marbles and was rubbing oil paints on her face. I was like, oh my god, this is so...
My thing is, like, at this point, I had no idea where the movie was going. I knew that it was about to end. I had no idea. So I was like, okay, some shit is about to happen. First of all, the kid just got hit by a car. She ran away. I didn't know where she was running to. When I finally realized she's at the house, because the movie is so dark during that scene, I have no idea where she is. Then she starts, like, in her room... like, tearing up the room. I'm like, okay, she's over Ivy, but is she gonna hurt herself? I thought, that's honestly what I was thinking. I was like, is she gonna kill herself? That would make some sort of dramatic, crazy sense for the end of the movie. And then she starts doing that thing with the lotion. I'm like, oh, this is getting weird.
Like, 3 straight minutes of her just rubbing lotion on her face. I was like, what the fuck? Is this supposed to be arousing? Like, what is going on? She was so sensually rubbing the fucking Pond's cold cream off her face.
That's the word I was looking for, the cold cream. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what's the next move?
Not sponsored, but I love Pond's cold cream, and I'm going to do that tonight.
This episode of Sequels Let's is sponsored by... Oh my god. Yeah, this fucking thing is just a goddamn mess.
I also didn't understand if the professor fucking killed himself or just like accidentally fell off the ledge of the fucking...
What I assumed was that I think he was trying to like... He was at a point where he was just kind of falling off and dragging her. It's like, oh, we'll die together or some shit.
How romantic.
Yeah, because he's fucking crazy. But then that just doesn't go well, and he just falls to his death, which is apparently a thing that happens in these movies.
Yeah, that's the main...
Didn't this happen in I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer?
Maybe.
It did happen. I think it did happen. It's so
dumb. It happened with the girl that we liked, the one, like, rock chick.
Oh, the rock
chick? Yeah.
One? This movie definitely reminds me of I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
I liked this more than I liked
it. It has better production value than that, than I'll Always Know.
Better production, better music. I don't like the music in this movie, but it's better.
Yeah.
That one had the worst music. Allie, did you say who your favorite character was?
No, because I don't have one.
Oh, Allie.
Damn.
My favorite character is Ivy from the last movie.
To be fair, she is pretty great. I'm not gonna lie.
She's so hot. Jesus Christ.
She's pretty hot. Okay, let's do shitty final thoughts. Shaq, what is your final thought on this movie?
This movie fucking sucks. That's it. It's far from the worst we've seen, but this movie's not good. The sex scenes are not sexy.
No,
characters, for the most part, are all just doing wildly stupid decisions or being super fucking skeezy. I want to like Lily more than I do, but I can't because she's just doing... Like, it's not even her fault as much as just, like, people around her. But her herself does not give me a reason to like her. At least the roommates are, like, the only parts that actually give any kind of life to this. The first movie is kind of underrated. It's not the best type of thriller I've seen, but it's got a lot of more enjoyability and likability to it. This is just Skinemax nonsense. Like, you could just change the channel on this shit.
Allie?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I liked it because, you know, she's hot. I liked her haircut. Made me want to cut my hair like that, but I don't have the bone structure for it. Yeah, I would never watch this shit again. I'll be honest, like, I was kind of on board at first because I was like, damn, I like this, like, relationship. Totally, like... ruined my fantasy. Now I am only going to think about this movie whenever I think about, like, having a crush on my professors. Thanks a lot.
Ruined. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay. Maybe this is a cautionary tale.
Yeah, it's a cautionary tale. Don't bang your professors. They might go crazy.
Has there ever been, like, one of those types of situations in a movie where that's not been just creepy?
No.
I don't think it's... Oh, my God. The thing is, like, can we just be real for a second?
Yes.
I really don't think it's that creepy. In this, it is, obviously, but I don't think the scenario is that creepy if it's a consenting adult.
Okay, I could see that, yeah.
It's all about consenting. That's especially interesting, too. I thought that it was going to be consenting between her and the professor. I just expected that to happen, but at no point was she...
No, she was wildly uncomfortable during all of it.
She got out of those situations.
And here's, like, what I think the film does really well. Like, yes, she knew what she was doing, and, like, she was, like, getting her sexy on whenever she would go see him and shit, but, like, she still said no. And so just because she was acting that way doesn't warrant his fucking behavior. And so I think the film does a good job at that, but then it fucks it up at the end when she's like, oh, I'm back to being the real me, not that horrible, terrible, sexually liberated.
I thought you were about to say that whore me.
That whore me. Anyway, moving on. So the film does fuck it up for itself, but I do think that it does a good job at, like, this isn't her fault at all.
That's the important thing to take away from
until
this.
The end.
I really thought this was going to be a lot more sexual, I guess. I mean, obviously the whole movie is about that, but at the same time, I gave my boyfriend, like, a warning and, like, hey, I have to watch, like, something pretty
explicit.
Explicit tonight, so if you walk in on me watching it, please don't assume. Like, this is for work. This is for work, I promise. I don't have a specific 1994 thing.
So,
Alyssa Milano softcore.
If you
movie.
Do want more intense sex stuff, follow me on my alt account, please.
Oh, here we go.
Perfect segue. That is 10 out of 10.
Everyone.
We're so close to getting a new laptop for me, you guys.
So, yes, I liked the first Poison Ivy, but I'm not going to pretend that. I don't think that's a very amazing movie either. I think both of them are kind of a little problematic. They're both very young. The marketing for those movies was done in a certain way on purpose. They're both child actors who grew up
they want to shed their goody girl image and shit like that.
These are both like prime examples of that kind of behavior that later went on to like Disney child stars. I don't have much opinion on that. People can do whatever they want to do, but if you look at the marketing for these movies, it's really creepy.
The marketing itself is super creepy because it's like, oh, these like child actors are all grown up, and that in itself is creepy.
Yeah.
But I think that these women like taking autonomy and like deciding to move in a different direction was awesome. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome because had they not done that, like they would have been perceived as these little girls forever. And so anytime they did anything sexual, it would be like scandalized.
And yeah. I would also like to say that this is probably one of the first female directed films we watched. Honestly, yes. Can't think of that's another true. One. So cool for that. And I kind of like I liked finding that out. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I do want to see women make just as skeevy a movie as a man.
Yeah.
So good for them. Good for them. I don't hate this movie. It's not entirely memorable. I don't think Alyssa Milano was that convincing. Some of her scenes, her scandalous scenes, she looked very uncomfortable. And I didn't know if she was actually, like, happy. Her first scene with Gavin, as I'm calling him, she literally looked like she wanted out of that situation. And I didn't know if that was what the character wanted or if that was just her face.
He just was like, dude, that scene went on for too long.
All of them went on for too long.
Because they got to play that soundtrack, that awful, awful soundtrack.
They were just touching and not even inappropriate. Like, just touching. It was so strange. Mm-hmm.
It's like arms and back.
Yeah, he's like, let me hold your arms against
so
you.
So fucking strange.
I'm like, wow, hot. Like, wow, I love being held from behind. Thanks, Gavin, in your fucking sculpture garden. This did nothing for me. I mean, if we're just talking about the fact that, like, I thought this was going to be, like, really erotic, and I was like, I felt nothing from this movie. That feels kind of bad. I mean, like, her putting on black lipstick was the hottest part of this movie.
And even then, I was confused about how she was putting it on.
Yeah, you're, like, makeup artist over here. You're like, I don't know, Alyssa. We could have done this better.
Is this how people got down in the early 90s? Like, shit.
If you were really trying to, like, have your freak flag fly, you would put on some black lipstick.
Damn.
So, I think that really wraps up this movie. We'll probably watch another Poison Ivy sometime in the future, though. I can see it happening for us.
There's one about a whole, like, the last one is about, like, a whole secret society of women who, like, manipulate men and shit. I'm like...
I'm a part of that society.
Why does every franchise become, like, secret society? Like, cult of Chucky. And, like, even... Doesn't the Halloween franchise have, like, a cult in it?
It does. It's not even direct-to-video, but I think it was, like, the... fifth or sixth one that has like a whole cult of Michael Myers and shit.
That's my new theory, guys. Cults in a franchise always show up at one point.
Fucking John Wick is kind of cult.
Things are
too.
Happening.
Yeah, but John Wick is good.
That's a good point. It is really good.
So this is not a great movie. It's definitely not as good as Poison Ivy, the first one, starring Drew Barrymore. However, I personally don't think this is a terrible movie to watch. It is a little longer than it needs to be. There are scenes that are very, like, I guess they're trying to be artsy and they're trying to hide in the drama, but, like, even the sex scenes are too long. So, I think that really sums up this episode, and I think it's time for plugs.
Yeah.
Shaq?
You can find me over on all the social medias at Shaq Excellence. That's S-H-A-K Excellence. You can find me over on oneofus.net, where I help co-host a bunch of stuff, including Eye on the Prize, The Breakfast Pub, and Their Final Watch Begins. And if you enjoy anything over there, you can go give a dollar or two, and then you can get a bunch of extra podcasts. Some of them I am on.
Wow. And who are they giving? Is it to oneofus.net?
Yeah, oneofus.net, the website. They have their own subscription service. And you get a bunch of, like, extra podcasts. You get movie commentaries, like, riff tracks type stuff. And it's really fun stuff.
That does sound really worth it.
Yeah.
Shaq, send me that link in private DM.
For sure.
You can find me on Twitter at sick_66. And...
Oh, God.
The Blair Bitch _. No, I have not been followed yet by Georgia the Jungle on either of my accounts.
Wow.
devastated. And yeah, you can find my writing on Talk Film Society. We're working on a Lord of the Rings podcast. That's a lot of fun. That's going to be out sometime in the summer.
What is the final name for that podcast?
We don't have a name yet.
Oh my fucking God.
I really want it to be Tolkien Dirty. I really want it to be Tolkien Dirty. I know you don't like that.
But listen, I would be for that name if it wasn't you and just a bunch of dudes. Like, every other guy on that podcast, I don't understand why they would be talking Tolkien Dirty.
Oh my God.
It would make sense if it was you and some other cool chicks and, like, maybe another guy, but it's literally a bunch of nerds and you. So it doesn't make sense.
Oh my God.
It doesn't make any sense. If I'm going to leave this in, I don't Good know. Point. But that's all I have to say.
Keep that in. Keep that in.
I don't want to see Marcello on a podcast called Tolkien Dirty.
Let me exercise my autonomy, Sarah.
Okay, what are you gonna do?
And then I'm still writing Bloodlust. We're having a little bit of an issue with that because I have no fucking time. But Bloodlust is still a thing. It's just not going to be bi-weekly anymore. And the next one we're doing is on Lost Boys. And that's pretty much it. I also actually, mm-hmm. over at Gaily Dreadful, they're having a fundraiser for Pride Month because it is Pride Month. And every day they're having a contributor put out a piece about queerness or queer-oriented films. Mine was the first one to go up, so if you want to take a look at that, you can go over to gailydreadful.com.
Okay, and for suggestions, we did have Steve Blank said that we probably should watch Waiting 2, the second Waiting. Still Waiting. That came out in 2009. Still, not Ryan Reynolds. A Ryan Reynolds film that does not star Ryan Reynolds in the second film. So that's another... That's something we've been really going for recently. And Andy Milonakis is in it, wearing Coolio braids.
Also, fucking Luis Guzman came back also.
I'll just give you a warning about that movie, guys. I haven't seen Still Waiting, but that is going to be Van Wilder all over again.
Dude, listen, I love Luis Guzman so much. Anytime he shows up in anything.
That's all I have to say about it. So when we all feel emotionally ready to watch another film like that, you all let me know. But like for right now, I don't think I can do it directly after this.
Yeah.
You guys notice how I have no reaction right now?
I know, she's being very quiet. I'm like, okay, I understand. So, Steve, we'll get to it. Just give us some time.
No. Give me at least, like, another, like, 3 or 4 months rehab from Van Wilder.
I think that's the end of the episode. We will find out what is going to be our episode next soon. We'll figure it out. We've got time. And thanks for listening.